And, you know, Susan and I started praying for this guy over 4 years ago. Because God was beginning to show some handwriting on the wall to us that our time here was coming to an end. We weren't sure exactly when it would happen, but we started praying. And 2 years ago, I told the elders what our plans were, and they've been praying. A year ago, I told you guys as a church what was going on, and you've been praying, and we've just been praying, 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 and God is answering. And one of the things we have prayed fervently all along the way is that we would be of one mind, that we would be.
Thanks.
And what's astounding to me is the search team. I got a text about a month ago from them saying, we've met this guy and we're in full agreement. And I felt like that was a powerful moment. And then the elders have met with him and they're in full agreement. The staff has interacted and they're excited. And frankly, if those 25 people were all we had, it'd be enough for me. But Susan and I have spent a lot of time. I've probably been on the phone and face-to-face with this guy for 25 hours or so. And I'm in full agreement. So I think God is really beginning to answer some real prayers for us in this process. So even though it's filled with a lot of mixed emotions, God is still working, doing great stuff. All right. Why don't I give you a second to kind of let go of those things and ask the Lord to speak to you this morning. So take a minute to do that. I'll pray for us. We'll dive in. Father, thank you that you teach to us in so many ways. Thank you that you are sovereign. You have a good plan for us as individuals, for us as a church. Thank you that you're at work creating beauty in the midst of us on a regular basis and a daily basis all along the way. And I pray this morning that you would speak deeply to us. So we pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, one of the great gifts God has given every one of us is the gift of an imagination. With your imagination, you can envision things that are not there. You can dream things up. You can imagine yourself on a beach or in the woods or wherever it is. You can kind of take these mental vacations. But also with your imagination, you have an ability to take things that that are kind of common and normal and then begin to envision new things in them. And so God has given you this imagination so that he can communicate eternal things to you through everyday average things. So as we've been looking over the last couple of weeks at this series on, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words, this morning we're going to look at a picture. And in Jeremiah 18, you can turn there if you want to. We're going to be pulling out of it a little bit from time to time and reading a handful of verses. But in Jeremiah 18, it begins in such a fun way because in verse 1 it just says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. Now, if you got that message today, go to the potter's house, you might have to dig around and find a potter. You may not know any potters. You know, but back in Jeremiah's day, potter's houses were as common as Dollar General. They were everywhere. Every village had a potter. Because pottery, it was essentially what God is saying here is, Jeremiah, I want you to go to Target. And at Target, I'm going to give you a message. And so he goes. And as he goes to the pottery house, pottery, the invention of pottery, the creation of pottery, was a cultural changing event. Prior to that, there was nothing to store food in. Prior to that, there was no way to transport things. Prior to that, you lived literally day to day, hand to hand, mouth to mouth. And so when he says go down to the potter's house, he's going to a place he's really familiar with. He's going to a place he's been to a million times. He's watching somebody do work that he's seen over and over and over again. And God says, I want you to go watch the potter because I have something to say through the potter. So as we get started this morning, we're going to go to the potter's house, our friend Luann Duyon.
Morning.
And we're going to watch the potter for a few minutes. And then we'll talk about it. So welcome to the potter's house. Thank you.
have an air bubble.
Cool. Luann just said she has an air bubble in her play.
Okay.
What did you do, pop it?
I popped it. I used I have a needle tool, and it popped it. So hopefully I'll be able to straighten it up.
We have no idea how long Jeremiah stood in the potter's house and watched. We don't know if it was a few minutes. We don't know if it was all day. We don't know if it was several days. But after watching Luann, and she's going to keep going along here, after watching Luann for a couple of minutes, what comes to your mind? Shout it out to me. What do you see? What do you observe from a few minutes in the potter's house? How much strength it takes. Skill? A lot of skill. What's that? Patience. Mm-hmm. She told me the other day that speed is the enemy of a potter. Yeah, she popped the bubble. There was a flaw in there, and she removed that and was able to keep going and kind of recover from that. Yeah. It is messy. She's a mess. just the right amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what happens, Luann, if you're too hard?
If you're too hard, that's what happens.
Okay. What happens if you're too soft?
You're too soft, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Nothing changes. Okay, so you got to know, so there's some skill involved, obviously, as you said, to know what to do. What else? Anything else? What's that?
Vision.
And variety. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, it keeps changing, isn't it? All right, good. What else? Somebody said something over here?
The clay
is not having any fun.
You're
That's
right.
Exactly right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Something beautiful from a blob. What a great statement.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way sometimes. Yeah. I know you guys do as well.
No two are alike.
Exactly. Everyone is different. What's that? It's a solitary job. Now, is that right, Luann?
Yes, it is.
Always by yourself?
I'm always by myself.
Are there any times that two potters would work together on anything for any reason?
We gather, a group of us do get together once a week.
But you're kind of doing your own thing.
We're all doing our own thing, but together.
Right, so it really is an individual creation.
Yes.
And have you ever created two things exactly alike?
Never. never.
If you tried, could you?
Mm-mm.
No.
And I mean, I'll weigh clay out. If I'm making a set of mugs, I'll say a set of six. I always throw two extra, so I weigh out 8 pieces of clay. Come here. I'll even use a ruler. Okay, it's going to be 6 inches high. It's going to be 3 inches wide. You know, to get the curve exactly the same every single time, to get the height exactly the same every single time, you line them up and you go, I might have two. Yeah. It's just one of those things. So
yeah, absolutely. It's both beautiful and useful. That's critical. Because God makes works of art, but all of them have purpose, right? And so here's a question for you to ponder. You can throw out an answer if you want to. If God had something to say to the nation of Israel, why didn't he just say it? We learn by watching. We learn by pictures. I will talk off and on for the rest of the morning. You remember something I say, maybe. You will always remember this picture. That's why God gives us pictures all of the time. That's why, honestly, you are surrounded by pictures every day. You know, God can speak to you literally at Target. You know, he can speak to you while you're watching the ball game. There are lessons in everything if we're watching and if we're alert. And so when he says go to the potter, he has something to say. We're going to look at that. But part of what he's saying is watch and learn. Watch and see me where you are. So those are all great lessons. I'm going to add a couple in and kind of clarify a couple that you said. And in many ways, I'm going to repeat what you just said. But there's a couple you missed that I want to note. And one is this, is that the Lord is never finished with me. He doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. And so, you know, as Luann is working here, you know, she's not done. And matter of fact, look at verse 3 if you got your Bible in your lap. You know, it says, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. The clay is raw. The clay is malleable. The clay is soft. And as the potter works the clay, he can work it. But then there was a little mar. There was an air bubble in here. Now this one, you know, Luann was able to just pop it and work it with her little tools. Once again, I don't think the clay enjoyed that moment, you know, but had that not worked, you know, she could have just started over. And so she's able to take these things that are still just these beautiful kind of works of art. And then, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm. So.
Well,
So next. What will you do with this?
So what I'm going to do with this is, because it's torn now on the top, I could put it back on there and possibly fix it a little bit, but what I generally do is just go ahead and finish what he started and put it back in a slop bucket, and we slake the clay back down and we reuse it. So there's nothing lost at this point. You just reform the shape from the clay. What I generally do is, you know, you can see me sticking it in a bag over here. I'll end up with a full bag of lost pots, but then it'll come back and say, for instance, it's in slabs or pieces like this. Well, if I just put them together like this, I'm going to have tons and tons and tons of air bubbles because I've just stacked it on top of each other. So what I'll do is I come back and I wedge the clay. And this is probably part of the hardest thing I do, the most strenuous thing I do, because I do this process probably 25, 30 times on each piece of clay, and I could throw 20 pots a day, easy. So you get the clay going in a circular motion, pushing it into itself without making any more air bubbles, pushing the air bubbles out. And this is something that you have to learn. It's not an easy process because I think the first 20 years that I did clay, I just kept putting bubbles back into it and finally realized, oh, you can't fold it back over. You've got to push into itself. So what I'm doing here is wedging, pushing all the air pockets out.
So what you do, you're not trying to make it soft.
No.
You're trying to get out the impurities.
Correct.
Which is, okay. You know, but see, here's the reality. If the potter's never finished with you, because what does the passage say? The pot was marred. Why? We don't know. There are all these things that mar your life. You know, sometimes you make bad choices. Sometimes you fail. Sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes you get wounded. Sometimes you get sick. You know, sometimes there are these pains or fatigue and it mars you. And in that moment, you might think, I'm done. There's nothing, what else can God do with me? But what's so beautiful is that the potter is never, ever finished. And everything can be reused. And everything can be remade and started over. So that's not the one I just boogered up, right?
No.
A different one.
Okay. It's a different one.
Okay. So you're just going to start over, and you're going to, what are you going to do? You
said to me. Probably what I'm going to do here, what you're watching me do, is called centering. It's probably the most important thing in pottery. As the wheel spins, the clay has to be exactly in the center. And I'm going to really make this whopper jaw so you can kind of see what my hands do. When I teach, I tell the students all the time, if you have to ask me if you're centered, you're most likely not centered. Because as you can see my hands, can you see my fingers just jumping all over that clay? Okay, when it's centered, nothing should move, okay? So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start pushing in on this. Let me get a little more speed.
So quick question, Luann.
Yeah.
Once you get it centered, does it stay centered forever?
No.
Or can it come off center?
It can come off center.
See, isn't that encouraging? I mean, really. Don't you feel like sometimes you get your life centered, and then you get out around, and you're going, oh, I'm such a, you know, and yet it just happens. Life happens. You get marred. But the potter can recenter you in spite of. Isn't that great?
Right. So this, it's a process. It's a process getting this. And I'm going to show you, I've been doing this probably close to 30 years. So this is called a centering arm. And we'll talk about wear and tear on your body later. But what this does is it helps me to center the clay. It's kind of like my third hand because I put it right here in my rib cage. And it just holds, and it doesn't move like your hands will move. And so now if you look at my hands, or if you can see my hands up here, you'll notice they're not dancing anymore. They're pretty steady. And it's just a little bit of a help for me in my old age here, you know, throwing 20, 30 pots a day, that I have that extra help to get it centered.
What I want you to notice something real quick. So you take your hands off. The clay's just fine. To change the clay, her hands have to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
The clay doesn't change unless her hands are on it. Okay? Which is really the second lesson I would love for you to see. Is the potter always has her hands on the clay.
What I'm doing now is I'm opening, I'm making a hole down in the center of the clay that I just centered. And speed, you know, we were saying speed's like your worst enemy. And you can kind of hear the wheel, I'm sure, because it winds a little bit. I slow it down tremendously at this next stage. This is a rib, shaped like a rib. And
how many tools do you have over in your little bag?
Probably 50. Don't say that too loud.
50 or 15?
50.
50? But that too is cool. Yeah, God has all kinds of special tools that he uses on each individual pot.
Yeah, I mean, it's you just never know what you're going to need sometimes. You know, I have my sponge. My sponges are like my baby fingers and the rib. And, of course, if you got an air pocket, a needle tool. Those are the basics. Then, of course, I have a cutoff wire because you got to get it off the wheel at some point in time. You'll see little pieces of, like, leather. They're little chamois that I smooth the edges out with. So those are some of the tools. But I'm a tool junkie.
Yeah.
I like all kinds of little things.
But you need tools to create what you're trying to create.
Yeah,
and God uses all kinds of tools on us as well.
Yeah.
And what I want you to note in this kind of as Luann's hands are on the pot, is that Luann, the potter, determines what the pot is going to become. Luann is sovereign over the pot, right? It's the potter that determines what the clay will become. And that's what God says in verse 5. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you Israel, or you can insert your own name, cannot do with you Israel as this potter does. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. And so what God is saying is, I am shaping you. So many of us fret and worry about, I got to make myself into something. If you put yourselves in the hand of the potter, he will make you something, right? He's at work creating beauty and usefulness in you. And so this passage is filled with hope. He's never done. His hands are all over you. He's making you. He's remaking you. But someone said it a minute ago over here. I forget who it was. You know, and this is the third lesson I see in here, is that being the clay is never enjoyable, but always worthwhile. You know, it's always painful to be shaped and remade. Luann gave me this great little story, so I'm going to read this to you. And Luann, while you're working, we're going to try something different.
Okay.
All right, you're going to be the voice of the potter in this, right?
Okay.
You know your line. It's not complicated,
I know.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
So just bear with me. This may not work. We didn't do this first service. We're making it up. Because it's got to be new every time. All right,
absolutely.
So it starts off this way. There was a couple who used to go to England to shop in the beautiful stores. They both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. And this was their 25th wedding anniversary. And one day, in this beautiful shop, they saw a beautiful cup, probably named Chip, right? Right. And they said, may we see that? And we've never seen one quite so beautiful. And the lady handed it to them. Suddenly, the teacup spoke and said, you don't understand. I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time when I was red and I was clay, and my master took me and rolled me and patted me and beat on me, and over I yelled out, let me alone. But he only smiled and said,
not yet.
Then I was placed on a spinning wheel, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around and around, and I was trying to scream out, stop it, I'm getting dizzy. And the master only said,
not yet.
Then he put me in the oven, and I'd never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me, and I yelled, and I knocked on the door, and I could see him through the opening, and I could read his lips, and he shook his head, or she shook her head and said,
not yet.
And finally the door opened, and he put me on the shelf, and I began to cool, and I thought, that's better. And then he brushed me and painted me all over, and the fumes were horrible, and I thought I would gag. Stop it, I cried, and he nodded, and?
Not yet.
Then suddenly put me back in the oven, not like the first one. This was twice as hot, and I knew I would suffocate, and I begged, and I pleaded, and I screamed, and I cried, and all the time I could see through the opening, nodding head, saying,
not yet.
Then I knew there wasn't any hope. I would never make it. I was ready to give up, but the door opened, and he took me out, placed me on the shelf. 1 hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, look at yourself. And I did. And I said, that's not me. That couldn't be me. It's beautiful. I'm beautiful. I want you to remember this. I know it hurts to be rolled and patted over and over. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel. But if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven. But if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad when I brushed and painted you all over. But if I hadn't done that, you never would have hardened. you would not have had any color in your life. And if I hadn't put you back in the oven a second time, you wouldn't survive for very long because the hardness would have not held. Now you are a finished product, and you are what I had in mind when I first began with you. Mm-hmm. And so often, when we're not enjoying life, God is just simply saying, what, Luann?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm not done yet. And so being clay is hard. You know, sometimes we cause the problems. The problem for Israel, they were idolaters. You know, they centered their life on something else that caused them problems. But God didn't stop. He just keeps working. There's incredible hope in the passage that God is not going to stop. Even if we choose other things, even if we turn our back, he does not stop. What he began, he will finish. Right? Now, there's a couple of crucial differences between the potter's house and what God is doing. Anybody, any thoughts? A couple of crucial differences between the illustration and reality. A lot of work. A lot of work. Any other differences? Yep, got to watch closely. Here's the biggest difference. The clay is inanimate. The clay is dead. You have choices. We are living clay. We have the ability to, in some degrees, you know, Romans 12, to climb off the altar. We have the ability to say, God, I don't want to go your way. You know, the clay, it may have some mars in it that are built into it that can get cleaned out. But you and I can mar our own lives. And so sometimes, and that's kind of the point of Jeremiah 18. As you read through the passage, what it's saying is that the nation of Israel is God wants them to go one way, and they keep saying, no, we want to go the other way. And God raises this question down in verse 15 that is something along the lines of, have you ever seen anyone who would choose to turn their back on their on the one that loves them so much? And yet that's kind of what we do. And so when that happens, when there's a mar, the potter, I mean, when there's a mistake in here, you have to come back and put more work and more pressure to get it back to what you have in mind, correct?
Yeah. For instance, just popped it. I might have done that leak reaching over. So now I'll get back in there and I'll go below it and just gently try and reshape that. Won't be exactly like it was before, but hopefully
different from what it was before is not bad.
No.
It's just different.
It's just different. We go a different route. So now we got a little bit more angled to it, but we saved it.
See what God is saying to us as the clay is, be responsive to my hands. Let me shape you. But real often we keep saying, no, I want to be my own potter and shape myself my own way. And so he has to kind of shape us back, which brings me to the fourth lesson I want you to grab this morning, and that's this. Plan A is always easier than plan B. Okay? Plan A is always better. If you kind of go with God's plan the first time, it's always easier on you. I mean, Susan and I had three kids, and when they were growing up, they were just like your kids, and we would say, don't do this or do this or whatever, and they wouldn't. And they would throw mud pies on each other, and they would be late for school, and they would ignore the curfew, and they wouldn't pick up their toys when we said. And so inevitably, we would sit down with them and have a conversation that went something like this. What we need you to do is these things. If you don't do these things, there will be consequences. And so we would say, plan A, if you'll listen to our words, is always better. And since our kids were basically perfect, that's really all we ever had to do. It was always plan B. And plan B was never fun for anybody. Plan B involved timeout chairs. It involved consequences. It involved getting grounded, having toys taken away, spankings. It removed taking things away that they loved. Once, and only once, I tied my boys' hands together so they were tied together for the day because I was tired of them fighting each other. I said, you're going to live life together. And I don't recommend it, because you probably go to jail on that these days, but it worked that day. But plan B is always more painful because we have choices. this passage is so beautiful in that it tells us that God is sovereign. He is making you into a beautiful pot. And you have choices, and you can respond to him or not. You know, and it values both his sovereignty and our free will and our ability to make decisions. And God never stops. He just keeps working. And if necessary, he'll revert to plan B, but he really loves plan A. So, Luann, what is, you've been throwing pots for 30, 35 years?
Yes. Yeah. About that long.
What's that?
About that long.
You started at the age of two.
Yeah,
I remember.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, I'm only 35.
Yeah, know. I know. I know. You were the child prodigy.
Yeah, right.
So what's the physical toll this has taken on you and your body?
Physical toll is quite a bit. As you can see, I'm standing. Most potters sit. But because of wear and tear on your body, I've stressed some vertebrae out. From tailbone up, I'm fused. So I'm no longer able to sit and lean forward. It's easier for me to stand and use my legs now. You'll see me in a lunge position. It's just much more comfortable. I can work a whole lot longer. Now, I have to tell you, once I had the surgery, you have a year recovery. I had two surgeries. So it's been like a 3 or 4 year process. It's not that I quit clay. I did continue doing clay. I just didn't throw at that point. And it's relearning how to throw, because now I'm standing. I'm not sitting. It's a little different body mechanic than what I was used to.
And what about your hands?
My hands, I've had carpal tunnel surgeries in both, because this is a repetitive motion. Got to the point when I dropped about the third or fourth coffee cup. I said, got to do something about that. Couldn't feel my fingers anymore. Went in, did surgery. I did fine. So it's just taking care of yourself and knowing your limits. You see, I've got, these are fun noodles. These fun noodles are on my wheel. You won't see a lot of people do this, but I do, because you have a nerve that runs through here called an ulnar nerve. And when you're leaning on this pan all day, you need some cushion. So every little physical therapy thing that I can glean from people on how to save my body to continue to work, I do. So now I work less. I rest more. I take naps.
Anita Hughes was here in the first service. She also throws pots. And she had, they were, you know, they have similar ailments that have come over the year, right? So the fifth lesson is that the potter pays a personal price for his work.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
Yes.
In order for Jesus to make you into what he wants to make you, he had to die for you. Right? We the pot, as creation fell, God got personally involved.
Yeah.
You know, God became one of us. Just as the clay gets pounded, Jesus got pounded. You know, and so Jesus had to literally die on the cross for each of us in order for God to remake us into the masterpiece he wants to make us into. And I love that picture, because God has skin in the game. When God makes you, remakes you, it's messy. There's personal pain and toll on him. It's relentless. He never stops, right? And the potter, you can see in Luann, she puts her whole body and soul into creating this. And that's what God does in you. And he never stops. And so he's making you and shaping you today.
What do you think? Are you ready?
I can't screw it up any more than I did in the first service.
Well, you don't get the one that's centered either.
I know. I saw you take it off. I love the way you get like a garrote and cut it off and then take it off. You know? I mean,
yeah, it is. Like, it is.
That's painful. All right, let's see what we can do this time.
All right.
I'll see if I learned anything from the first
service. From the first service. Yeah. There we go. I'm going to get this off of here. Oh, he steps back. You think he thought he was going to get splattered?
Well, you know, I wish I'd thought enough to wear a shirt that wasn't like pink, you know, or whatever this is.
Call me, Susan. I'll tell you how to get it out, okay?
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Okay.
Shirt.
Okay, I'm ready. Step back. Step back.
Step back.
Now.
Okay.
Now. Get your hands wet.
Oh, yeah. This
and remember, elbows down.
Elbows down.
Okay, fast speed.
All right.
Tell him when he's centered, okay? Okay, use your fist on the top.
My fist on the top?
Fist on top. Make this right hand.
Right here?
Or your left hand a fist. There you go.
Like
push
so?
Push down. But you got to press in, too.
Well, pressing in.
You got to press in and press down.
And down, right.
Elbows in and down. There you go. Oh, now we got a plate. Now we're going to have a plate.
God. Well.
Oh, this is different.
This is. But you can fix this, right?
Maybe. Maybe.
There goes the whole first point.
Yeah.
You just
I can.
Okay, wait. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse? Okay. Pull your hand back for a minute.
Okay. Make it look easy.
All right, come back in.
Okay.
There you go.
Like so?
Elbows down. My mantra, elbows down. Okay.
I think if we had tortillas, it would work. See, this is like a tortilla holder.
Yeah, but then you'd have to make a lid. That's hard.
Okay, never mind. It's getting dry. I can tell.
Yeah. Oh, see? He knows.
I know.
He knows when I haven't put the water on, he knows.
There you go. Now what?
Okay, push in.
Push in.
Heels of your hands.
Heels of my hands.
Yeah. Use your legs.
Use my
legs. He needs a few more lessons. What do you think?
This is exhausting.
Yeah, it is exhausting. Yeah.
It doesn't feel very centered.
It's not.
I know.
But it's okay.
But thank you.
Yeah.
You're kind. All right.
I'm sorry I don't have a clean towel.
I don't need a clean towel. It's like, it's a lump.
Well.
I'm glad God's the one shaping us, not me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, you guys. You I don't need to say much. You see all the lessons. And so I would ask you to do this. I would encourage you to reflect on this today. God may have something very specific for every one of you. Your own personal takeaway. You may already have it. But let your mind remember this. Okay? And remember what it takes for God to shape you, and He never quits. So let me pray for us, you guys. Lord, You're good. I thank You that You are the potter, that we are the clay. I thank You that we can trust You to shape us into what is best, something good, something beautiful, something profitable, something useful. Lord, today, so many folks are getting, I mean, they're feeling the pressure. They're feeling the heat. They're feeling your hands boring in on them. They're feeling spun around. And so, Lord, I pray that as You say to them, not yet, that they would know that that means You're building something beautiful in them. Lord, thank You that we can trust You, that You are good. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You guys thank Lou Ann. This time.
Okay. It was good.
That was fun.
You feel it. You know.
Oh, that is so.